1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here in honor of John Henry, who is not here. There's a little bit more hair on my head than is usually here, but I'm here with Janie, who is going to be talking about her reversion, and we are so excited. This is very odd because I usually produce, but tonight I've been asked to host because John Henry had to put out a fire, so we're going to be praying for him as he puts out this fire. But before we get started, I definitely want to start us off in prayer. Janie, do you mind leading us in prayer?
All right.
Yeah? Okay. In the
name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I usually like to start with just a simple Hail Mary.
Okay.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Mary, Queen of Angels, pray for us. Our Lady of Perpetual Help, pray for us. And help guide us in our words, in our language during this podcast. And I hope that it reaches those that need to hear this. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
You know, we have told John Henry many times not to grade prayers, and I am going to follow the rules that I constantly tell John Henry, but that was an amazing prayer. Well done.
Thank you. I don't know
if we've ever just come on and said, done the pray for us ones, but I like that. I might start suggesting that to others who pray. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Those are my go-tos.
That's good. That's good. So right now we've got somebody else running the cameras and running the sound, and I am here hosting, and this is awesome. I'm thrilled. I'm blessed to have been asked to do this, and I'm blessed that I get to talk to Janie for the next hour. And so, Janie, tell us just a tiny bit about yourself and kind of what do you think this episode might be about?
My name is Janie.
Yeah.
I'm a twin. I'm the oldest of nine, so I've got eight younger siblings, if you include my twin sister. I have a devotion to Our Lady of Perpetual Help. You know, my patron saint is Saint Anne. I have been through, quite a lot in life, as I suppose anyone has. When I was 16, I started having some major health issues, and that really kind of defined the next 6 years of my life, leading up to where I am today. And so, and it plays a big role in my kind of falling away and reversion and, you know, coming back. I never, you know, became un-Catholic. Like, I never said, oh, I'm not Catholic anymore. But I lost that spark, that love for Jesus, that love for the faith where you're just passionate and, like, truly living it out in your daily life. I had become numb to all of it. I was just going through the motions. I was attending church on Sundays just to attend, just to, you know, hit that checkbox. Mm-hmm. And then I was going throughout my life. You know, my prayer life was pretty much non-existent. I wouldn't say I had a relationship with God. And that was something that had kind of devolved over the past couple years. Like, I went to Catholic school growing up, all, you know, pre-K 4 all the way through 12th grade, had a very good Catholic education, and I was a rule follower. So, you know, I took things seriously growing up, but more so, again, it was like checking off those boxes, making sure I was following the rules. I wanted to be good. And then once I graduated high school and, you know, no longer had, you know, people telling you, oh, you need to do this, you need to do this.
Of course.
You know, I tried to stay on the straight and narrow, but because my heart wasn't in it, like slowly over the years, and it's a tricky, slippery slope. You don't notice it until you've fallen so far away. You're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing?
That's right. Yeah. And for all of our longtime listeners that have seen some conversion stories and reversion stories, we're very familiar with the fact that you don't notice. And Janie's right. And we're going to really dig into this. I'm thrilled. And before we kind of get deeper, I want to make sure that everybody hits that like button. If you haven't already, please subscribe on YouTube. If you're listening on the radio, pull over your car and type this address in. It's www.youtube.com/@honest2god. That will take you to the YouTube, and make sure you hit that subscribe button, share this video, like it, put a comment down below, because all of those things help us to reach more people. And that's how it works. But enough about YouTube, enough about that. Let's get over to Janie. I want to start, Janie. Yes. You said you have a twin, and that's awesome. Yes. So
fraternal twin. But
fraternal twin, yes. Which is so rare. You hear of twins all the time that are the same sex or gender, and they're identical.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But do you guys look a lot alike?
No, not at all, actually.
All right.
I look like my mom, and she looks like my dad's side of the family. So, and we're very different people. I'd say opposite personalities.
Okay.
But, you know, we get along great. You know, she's my built-in best friend. Mm-hmm. So, you know, love her, always pray for her, all of that good stuff. She lives in Florida currently.
She lives in Florida. All right. Mm-hmm. And you said 9 siblings, right?
8 siblings. I'm, you know, the oldest of 9
children. Okay. Yes. I do. Yes. My wife is one of 9, and I do the same thing. She has 9 siblings, and she's like, no, I have 8 siblings. But so, you know, from the outside looking in, it's 9.
Yeah.
So where do you fall on the 9 line?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
Yes. Okay. I'm the true oldest. Yes. By 8 minutes, the most important 8 minutes of my life.
And of the world, if you ask me, especially in this moment. All right. Yes. So grew August up the 6th. Oldest. That's a lot to be the oldest girl.
Yes, it's a responsibility for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, and it's one that I take seriously.
Well, that's good. But growing up, it was probably very tough.
It was. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you know, it was easy peasy. No, it was definitely comes with its challenges, especially my mom was worked in the administration at our school, and that took a lot of time for her. And we were, you know, it was a hybrid Catholic school. So we would go 2 days a week, and then 3 days out of the week, we were home and we were being homeschooled.
Okay.
So I did a lot of work helping around the house, you know, taking care of myself, taking care of my siblings, trying to, you know, help my mom. And, you know, I am very grateful that I had that opportunity, because I think it helped shape me into who I am today. Mm-hmm. And kind of give me a good perspective of what I want out of life. But, you know, when you're 12, 13, teenager, you kind of have this attitude of, oh, I've got to do so much work. You know, my friends don't have to do this much work. How come I have to do all this? Blah, 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 blah. So I definitely was not, you know, did not have that spirit of gratitude at that age.
Right. And that's very normal. And I hope that you've forgiven yourself for kind of looking back and you have a great view of what how you wish you would have been, but now how you are now.
Yeah. And I love my mom. She's good. You know, amazing. I have a great relationship with her and all.
Shout out to Janie's mom for raising such an amazing young girl, and for letting her come on the show today. Mm-hmm. Obviously your mom didn't just give you permission, but I'm sure she's praying for you.
Yes.
What was kind of prayer life like for you guys growing up?
I mean, most of my Catholic education was at school, or at church. You know, we would go to church every Sunday as a family. Good. And then we would have our, Sunday school, and then we would pray together before meals. We would occasionally, you know, pray together as a family, but it was not something that was done regularly. Like I said, majority of my catechesis was done through the school.
Sure. Okay. And so tell me a little bit about that. You're going to church, of course, and catechism classes. Was it you were dragging your feet? You didn't really want to be there kind of deal?
I wouldn't say that. It was more so just something I had to do. Again, like I being like the classic oldest daughter, I was a rule follower, and I was, you know, very melancholic in nature, in the term that like I had a set routine and I would do that routine each week, and, you know, religion and all of that, that was part of my routine. So it was, you know, I was just learning about the faith for the sake of learning about the faith. Like it was something I had to do, just like you have to do your math homework every day.
Right.
And I, you know, if you had asked me at that age, oh, do you love God? I would say yes, because I was following the rules and I was like, well, I'm doing everything right. But I was kind of like one of the Pharisees from the Bible, you know, where you've got that like spirit of pride where you think you're good because you're following the rules, you're doing what you should be doing, but then your heart's not in it. And I would also look down on other people who maybe didn't have that education or weren't being as routine, because I'd be like, oh, I'm better than you because I can follow the rules and you can't. Like, what's wrong with you?
Spiritual pride is something that I know many of us struggle with.
And that was a hard lesson that I had to learn too, like as an adult, like just kind of how like I had that like blind spot.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I understand. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of your childhood. Mm-hmm. And then you talked about going into from your youth into young adulthood, turning 18, going off on your own.
Yes.
What did that look like? College?
So when I was 16, that's when I had the health issues. And that really kind of affected what I was going to do for school. The last 2 years of high school were kind of a blur for me because I was so sick. Like a lot of it is almost like a blank space in my memory because I think I blocked a lot of it out. I mean, I was in and out of hospitals constantly, you know, dealing with a lot of pain, like I just trying to get through the day. You know, I had a boyfriend at the time in high school, and I really like leaned on him during that time. And I should have leaned on my family and I should have leaned on God, but I was a teenager and, you know, your family's stupid when you're a teenager.
Yes.
And, you know, God is this mystical being that you can't really like, you know, again, like I didn't have that quite that connection with him. So, you know, I leaned on the next best thing and I kind of formed this, like, I think codependent attachment almost. I didn't realize I had until, you know, many years later when I had to sever that attachment. But yeah, so that's what got me through. And I do consider, you know, I still consider that a blessing because I don't think I would have survived high school without that. Like I truly because mentally I was so depressed because I didn't know what was wrong with me. I thought I was dying. I was in pain. Like that was like my one in my mind at the time. I was like, this is my one good thing. I'm going to hold on to it. And then for once I graduated high school, I was doing a little bit better. Like I thought I was kind of getting on the path to healing, but I wasn't, you know, confident in that. So I went to University of North Georgia, but I just did online and I would stay, you know, and if I did commute, it would be to the Cumming campus, and I stayed with my parents. Okay. So, and it was also during COVID. So like most of it was online anyway. Mm-hmm. It, you know, everyone was staying away from everyone. And I did that for about 2 years. And then I was feeling really isolated. And at this point, like my health, like I was feeling kind of back to normal. So, and I'd always wanted to do hair and makeup. Like that was something I had thought about before I got sick. So I was like, well, now that I'm feeling better and this is something I want to pursue. And I was like, again, feeling really isolated and bored during doing the online classes, having zero sense of community and like no friends. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna do cosmetology school.
Okay.
So I did that for a year. Near the end of cosmetology school is when my health started declining again. I got like a whole new host of symptoms that I hadn't experienced before. And that was really scary and confusing for me because I thought I had it figured out. And then all of a sudden I didn't again. And it was like high school 2.0. And that was, little did I know, that was like just the beginning of like the downward spiral that I was about to go on. And also at this point, like my faith life had consisted of just going to church on Sundays. Like I wasn't really praying on a regular basis. I was not hanging out with the correct group of people. Like I would say my friend group at the time was pretty secular.
Okay.
So not, you know, no one was like no good influences.
Right.
And then after I finished cosmetology school, my health was so bad. Like, I was throwing up on a daily basis. I couldn't really use my hands and arms because I had such bad nerve damage. Like, I had carpal tunnel, ulnar entrapment.
Wow.
I had it in my ankles too. So standing was hard. Like, I really, like, my body was just like broken. And I was in that same place of not knowing what to do. Like, going to bed every night, not knowing if I was going to wake up the next morning. I was in so much pain. Like, and it was like hard to breathe some days because just, you know, the weight of all of that. And then during that time, I would say, so it was like another cut to like a year of struggling with that. Mm-hmm. So graduated cosmetology school, then another year of just trying to battle my health, essentially. Like, I wasn't working as a cosmetologist or anything. I had to put that on hold because I was like, my body's so broken. Like, I cannot do a physically laborious job.
And you had mentioned that a lot of your friends group at the time was very secular.
Yes.
Would you also say that you weren't able to spend a whole lot of time even with them?
Yes. So I was back to being isolated.
Right? Regardless of the fact that they were secular, it just almost was abysmal, right?
Yes. Yeah. And it was really shallow too, because once I got really sick and like I was again isolated, like I had no one wanted to spend time with me. Like, it was just, it felt like, you know, me, myself. And then that's also, you know, I went through a breakup with the guy that I had been with since high school. So we had been together 6 years at that point. And I, again, was somewhat codependent in the sense that I was like, oh, he'll solve all my problems. He's like that one good thing, you know, you fall into that trap. And then all of a sudden that was gone.
Wow.
And that nearly broke me, just because I had convinced myself that that was like the one good thing that God was allowing in my life. And to have that taken away, I was like, well, clearly God hates me. I was like, I had one good thing and now that's gone. What now? Like, I'm broken. Like, am I physically, I'm feel like I'm dying. I'm in pain every day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sleep not knowing if I'll wake up the next morning. And now I'm heartbroken on top of it. And I have no idea what to do with this pain. Like, I was crying out and praying to God, which I ironically started praying at that point. But my prayer was disordered in the sense that I was basically just shouting and yelling at God about like how angry I was and how heartbroken I was and like demanding that he fix my life. And I was like, I literally would tell God every single night before going to bed. I was like, if you can't cure me, then I just need you to kill me. Like, I'm not strong enough to kill myself. Like, I didn't want to do that. I knew that that would, you know, send me to where I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to live either. So I was like, you just strike me down with lightning, give me an event, like something, like take me out because I can't handle this anymore. And I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Sounds very scary.
Yeah. Not a good place to be
No. Wow. Mm-hmm. I want to get into that a little bit more, but I want to go back a little bit to cosmetology school. Mm-hmm. Would you say, did you finish?
I finished. I did not ever get licensed because at that point, like, I was too sick.
Right, right.
I barely finished. Like, it was like I was limping along at that point.
Of course. Would you say that some of the influence that you were around, especially if you're prayer life was so kind of non-existent by what you're saying, other than going to church, going through the motions, would you say the influences around you kind of had an effect on you?
And I thought at the time, I was like, oh, I'm better than this, but it definitely does. I mean, that industry is very worldly, and I knew that going into it, but everyone always thinks that you're going to be the one person that isn't affected or isn't changed, and that's not true. Like,
right.
We're all weak individuals at the end of the day. We're all human. So there was definitely, I mean, it was just a very catty environment. Like, everyone was, not everyone, but for the most part, it was just very fake, very vain. Like, I was very, like, it teaches you to be self-absorbed to a certain degree.
Right. Right. And while you are struggling, while you're having these, medical issues that you were just describing.
Yes.
You're not able to lean on anybody because that's just almost pouring gasoline on this fire.
Yeah. And it kind of made me like socially ostracized in a sense. Like nobody wanted to deal with me. I was like the weird one, you know, like what's wrong with her?
Right. And I don't know, some anger probably was surfacing and you might have been snappy with people.
Yes. Yeah, I actually got really like my relationship with my family started struggling a lot. Because they didn't know what I was going through because I kind of kept it hidden from them. Mm-hmm. And at the time I justified it as I didn't want them to worry. Like I didn't want to burden them, but it only made things worse because I started growing resentful towards them for not just reading my mind and helping me, even though I wasn't asking for help. Sure. And so, my relationship with them got really rocky because I wasn't communicating and I was growing resentful at the same time. And so I was very snappy with them and that was unusual behavior for me. So they didn't know how to respond to it other than just be snappy back and be like confused and like, what is wrong with you? So, we kind of like, there was a period of time where we really like, we're just very low communication, like weren't really spending time around each other or talking.
Did your... Mm-hmm. I don't want to call her the twin. What's your sister's name?
Her name's Rebecca.
Rebecca. Okay. Yes. Did Rebecca at any time, because you guys were literally the closest because you've been there together the whole time. Did she notice anything? Did she say something?
No. She lived in Florida already at that time. She's been living in Florida and she's going through her own separate issues. Okay. So if anything, I was also dealing with that as well.
Sure, okay.
And I don't want to go into her.
That's fine.
But no, we actually, at that time, I don't even think we were really speaking either.
Right. I bring this up because, family is so important. And when we notice that another one's struggling, it might hurt what they're doing. But to know that their struggle could be a way that you could love them through something like that. So did you have a family member that was eventually there for you?
Yes. My mom, for sure.
Shout out to Jane's mom again.
Yeah. Which it makes me emotional sometimes thinking about it because I honestly was probably like the most resentful towards her because I'd already felt, I guess, growing up that she wasn't as there for me as much as I wanted her to be. Mm-hmm. And I carried that deep within me and I would say same with my dad as well, but not as much just because I was like, well, he's the dad. So he's supposed to be working. And and all along. But then she ended up being the one person that was there for me the most when I was too blind to see it. Like the one that was always praying for me, the one that was always just a phone call away, if I needed something, all I needed to do was ask. And, I hate that I carried that resentment for so long and didn't see her for who she was.
Thank you for your vulnerability with that. I know that sounds hard. We all go through moments of resentment and hate and anger towards, especially those we love. That's the first one. The ones that we love are probably hurt the most while we're hurting. And, I do want you to forgive yourself for those. I think that's an important piece and I hope that you have. And, but that, here at Honest to God, that is one of the things we've talked about many times. With conversions, that you recognize the pain that you've caused others. And Janie's story here is definitely a testament to that. We've got a few minutes before break. And so before we get there, I feel like we're very close to kind of where you've really been introduced to the fullness of the faith. Am I right?
There was still some more spiraling, but just more mental spiraling. Like I had fallen even further away from the faith. Like even though I was going to church, I was now doing things that were like actively against the faith. Like I started getting into like astrology and numerology a little bit. Okay. And thankfully I never like turned to witchcraft, but I was like starting to head down that road. And like that, I'm like looking back, I'm like, oh, that was so scary. Like I had no idea what I was potentially opening the door to.
Sure.
And thank goodness, like once I started going down that path, that's when God was like, okay, time to come back.
It's definitely a spoiler alert there. Yeah. You were saved in the end, but yes. I hope that we can dig into that a little bit. For those mm-hmm. who have seen my conversion story, I went through definitely very similar. We can link it down below. Mm-hmm. This was before I became fully involved with Honest to God, but I'm familiar with that astrological, you know, holes that can get poked in your soul, and there's the doors that you can open, and that it is very scary. And I'm glad that you're here.
Yeah,
and we'll definitely get into that a little bit. I know that you had we spoke off air a little bit, and you said that it was about, you said boyfriend broke up with you close to a year ago, and this is actually airing Divine Mercy weekend. So if you're watching this or listening live, tomorrow's Divine Mercy Sunday, if you're watching on YouTube. But so there's an element of divine mercy, I think, that has taken place in your life. Do you remember Easter last year?
Yeah, I was Easter last year. That was a hard Easter because I was just in tears. Like I was still very much mourning the breakup because it was, only like it was March 15th of last year was when he was like, I don't think that I see a future with you anymore. But he was 50-50 in terms of if he wanted to like fully go through with the breakup, like he wanted a break. And then I was like, okay. And then 2 weeks after that, so like 3 days before Easter, I think it was, I said, look, like I can't be with someone that was only 50% sure about me. Like we've been together long enough at this point that you should know. Mm-hmm. So I left, and that was like the most painful decision I ever made, but also ended up being like the most ultimately fruitful decision for my life.
Funny how that works.
But yeah, after I made that decision, it was weird because like there was a couple like a week where I like felt peace about it. And I was like, OK, I'm going to be OK. I made the right decision. And then after that, it was like a switch flipped. And I was like, what have I done? But it was too late. And, you know, I was like, you know, it's a done deal now. And so I just was like, oh, I take it back. God, I take it back. Can you fix it? You know, like, you know, of course. And that. Yeah. And thank goodness. God is like, child, calm down.
Yeah. Wow. We watched The Chosen throughout Lent, and there was a part that Jesus says where, you know, once you take that first nick in the marble, you can't undo it. Mm-hmm. You got to keep going. And that's what it sounds like happened. Wow. So we're here with Janie here on Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. And we're going to be right back to hear more and to dive into a little bit deeper of how she found her way back to the faith. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, listeners, we are back here on Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We're here with Janie, and I just learned while we were off air that Janie was a brand ambassador for Mercedes-Benz. So I'm just shocked. She's talking about how much she's struggling, but then it has to be a brand ambassador for a this big bougie car company and smiling and looking wonderful as Janie is. And but she's struggling on the inside, and we're going to get right to it. I know we were at the breakup. We're at Easter. So kind of get us back into that.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm mentally, physically struggling, feeling like I'm dying. And I'm also having to work a job where my job is literally to look good and be nice to people and get people to buy cars because they're, you know, had such a pleasant interaction with me and they, you know, associate me with the brand. Okay. And that was extremely difficult for me. That definitely took an extra like mental toll on me because I'm trying to present this perfect image of myself on an almost daily basis. And on the inside, all I want to do is scream and cry. So that was, you know, like I would be like, you know, going to work all smiles, but I'm like super angry and dying on the inside and don't know how to express it. And I would literally, like, I wouldn't talk to anyone at work. I would like go into work and talk to customers when I had to. And like, that was it. Other than that, I just kind of like shut off.
Okay.
Cause that was the only way I could really cope with it. Like an on off switch.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so from there, and I know many people can relate to that, that they just have to put it on at work and they're struggling. What happened?
I mean, that my job started again suffering, like as I was getting sicker and sicker, like I would have to call out more. And my boss is an amazing woman. She was incredibly gracious with me. I, you know, shared with her some of the struggles that I was going through. So she did a very good job of being accommodating. I ended up taking more of a backseat and just working more for the social media for the company. So I could, you didn't have to interact with people as much. I could kind of sit down so my, you know, again, body wasn't hurting as bad. And I would only, and I did less events, kind of like did more of the online computer work.
Right.
And that worked a lot better for me. But, you know, it's still, no one wants to go to work when they're dying on the inside. And I actually, so I was just going through the motions like this. My day was literally wake up, go to work, try not to cry, get home from work, scream, cry, be angry at the world, be angry at God, trying to just cope and then, you know, rinse, repeat and pray that I don't either, you know, die, you know, naturally, like at this point. Yeah. Cause I was honestly praying that I wouldn't wake up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that I would somehow wake up miraculously cured and everything would be sunshine and rainbows, but you know, it doesn't work that way. So I did that for months till August.
Okay.
And I had just gotten back from visiting my sister in Florida. Mm-hmm. And if she was here, she would tell you like, I was not myself at all on that trip. Like she didn't even recognize me. She was like, who is this person? Like I had, you know, completely changed in my behavior and how I conducted myself. Cause I was a mental basket case. And, you know, I was at work and it was the end of the day at work. And I was walking up the stairs in the parking garage to my car, and I all of a sudden passed out.
Oh.
And from there, I lost consciousness, and I was unresponsive for 10 minutes. So for 10 minutes, I wasn't breathing. I wasn't responding to the paramedics. Like I was, you know, either... Like, are you basically kind of like, I wasn't like dead, but I was like in a very like almost comatose, like I was in a coma basically for 10 minutes where I just wasn't responsive and they had to, you know, resuscitate me back to life. And that was very traumatic for me. I don't remember most of it, but I do remember, I mean, thank goodness I was with one of my coworkers. She called 911 and that honestly saved my life. Cause if the paramedics hadn't been there to resuscitate me, I would have, you know, cause I wasn't breathing. Like I would have just died.
Right.
And I remember as I was passing out, like I could tell that like my body was shutting down. And I remember I just told God, like, I was panicking because I knew my soul wasn't ready. I was like, I'm not ready to go. Like,
wow.
And all, it just hit me all of a sudden. I was like, I told God, I was like, the last thought in my brain was, God, actually, I take it back. Don't kill me. Please save me. If you save me, like, I'll do whatever it is you ask. Like, I don't care. Just please let me live. I'm not ready to go yet. My soul's not ready. And it
and
was
this
just,
was all right there while right after you'd been resuscitated.
No, this was as I was like
coming through.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And then thankfully, you know, God did us that, you know, he brought me back to life. And that was a really scary moment for me because it was just this sudden realization of how fragile life is and my own mortality and how I, you know, wasn't doing a good job of taking care of my soul. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I don't remember anything after that other than just like pitch black. Like it was just my, you know, memory is just kind of just dark there. But then I remember waking up in the hospital and my mom was holding my hand and I was really confused. I was like, why am I here? What's going on? And she told me, and I was like, oh, and you know, my rib cage is like really bruised. And they also did a sternum rub. So I had like, and my skin's really sensitive. So I had like, it looked like almost like someone cut me here, but it was just cause their knuckles like rubbed my skin like raw. Like you could almost see like the bone. It was pretty nasty and painful. And instead of being like, oh, thank you, God, for saving me, like, I'm going to be great now, I was like, so, God, guess what? I still really don't like you.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is wild. But yeah, I was still angry. I decided that I was still going to be angry at God. I still didn't pray. Like I was not grateful in the least bit. I was like, well, great. I'm alive, but I'm still broken and in pain. And like, like what now? Like I was literally a vegetable cause I couldn't walk. I could hardly talk. I was just, my whole body was in pain. Like it felt like I got hit by a truck and broke all my bones and then was set on fire. Like that's the best way I could describe the pain that I was in.
Wow.
So that is when I started then turning to, instead of turning back to God, I started turning into like the astrology stuff because I lacked a sense of control in my life and I wanted to feel like I was in control.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just asking Jesus to take the wheel, I, you know, started turning to that stuff to try to figure out, okay, what am I supposed to do in life? How is my life going to end? Like, sure. What's my destiny? You know, that type of thing, which I, you know, super, super regret. Thankfully, I didn't do that for too long.
That's good. Like, what led you to that?
It was actually in bed after I had gotten home from the hospital. I could hardly move. And I was sitting there kind of like with my phone like this, almost like propped up on my chest. And I was just scrolling through TikTok because I had TikTok at the time, which I don't have TikTok anymore. But a video popped up on my phone that was like, if you're, you know, like basically just reading a horoscope.
Mm-hmm.
And that caught my interest because I was bored and in pain. And I was like, ooh, what's this? This is new. And that's what started that deep dive. So yeah. And it's really like, honestly, I get like how people can get sucked into that because it's as easy as just a 5-second video mm-hmm. being like, here's a horoscope. And then you being curious,
yes,
looking into it. And then if you don't have that moral boundary,
mm-hmm.
you just keep going.
Right. It's very uh-huh. attractive.
Yes.
Almost.
Yeah. Especially for people who, you know, feel that they lack that sense of control in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely, from the devil being like, hey kid, you know, here's how your life's going to go. I can tell you, mm-hmm. you know, and I just didn't realize it at the time. So that, yeah, that was started the slippery slope there. And thankfully I didn't get like too into it. Like I wasn't like doing spells.
You weren't making your own videos.
No. I was just watching them and like actively like looking up like, okay, what's my horoscope for the day or what does this mean?
Okay. Seeing the time on the clock, like, oh, it means this.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That type of thing. Yeah. which is still, which I justified it as, oh, well, I'm just reading about it. I'm just, you know, watching the video. I'm not actively participating. No, you are, because you're even if you say, oh, I don't actually believe that stuff, you're still reading about it.
You're still consuming it.
You're still consuming it, and it's going to be in your subconscious.
Yep.
So, you know, I was doing that for a couple months, and I even started talking to my parents about it. Like, that's how insidious it is I was almost like preaching about it in a sense. Like, I would tell my mom, I was like, oh, did you know that this is my horoscope? Like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Yeah.
Were you wearing crystals and all that too?
I did actually have like one crystal that I got. It was like a carnelian crystal, which is like supposed to be for like confidence or something stupid.
Or something, right?
Yeah. Like, thrown it away now. But okay. I think that was like right at the end, like as I was.
Okay. So we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, not really, but I mean, that was like, at that point I was like pretty like deep in it, but also close to God slapping me in the face, mm-hmm. metaphorically speaking. And that was like, my parents started getting really concerned at that point, because they were like, you've never been into this stuff before. And like, now all of a sudden you're talking about it nonstop. Mm-hmm. And like, they knew that that behavior wasn't normal for me. My dad even actually at one point at dinner, I was at my parents' house for dinner, and he got the Bible and he put it next to me, and he was like, I need you to pray on this Bible. And I was like, you're being silly, Dad. That's stupid.
Way to go, Dad.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you brought up the devil, and you're uh-huh. not wrong. The devil yeah. had lost hold of you, it sounds like,
yeah.
when you had your mm-hmm. kind of resuscitation moment,
mm-hmm.
and had to send in the big guns and was mm-hmm. like, hey, you know, come on over here. Don't go that way, because mm-hmm. he could sense that you were going away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not that you were that in deep with the devil, but as we've yeah. talked about, lukewarm is a very dangerous place to be.
People don't realize how dangerous it is. Like, I was obviously completely blind to it. Like, at that point I thought, oh, well, you know, I'm not really in danger. Like, there's no way I'm that bad off. No, I was.
Right.
I just didn't want to. I was too prideful. I didn't have the humility to accept it.
Sure, sure. Wow. Okay. Yeah. And so your dad had you pray on the Bible.
Yeah.
Did that. And so you didn't do it, or you said it's silly?
I mean, I did it, but I was like, this is silly, Dad. Like, you're overreacting.
But you did it.
But I did it, yeah.
Right. What happened after that?
Well, it was still, I would say, a month later. It was like right around Thanksgiving. And I was still, you know, not right with God, doing all those things. And I had another, like, bad spell where I was just like throwing up a lot, and like my body was like crashing again, and it was really scary because I thought I was dying again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a stress response to something else that I had seen, that kind of like mentally, like I snapped kind of. And yeah, that is what it took. That was like, basically, I think that was God or the Holy Spirit slapping me in the face. Because while that was going on, I remember the first thought that I had was, why are you doing this to me, God?
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as I said those words, it was like, click. And I was like, wait a minute, God's not doing this to me. I am.
Bingo.
Like, I'm the one that is, I am inflicting this mental pain on myself, or I'm at least allowing it to fester by not going to God and letting him take care of it for mm-hmm. me. I am stewing in my pain. I'm, you know, not bettering my life. And, yeah. And I was like, and I'm the one, like, I'm not turning to God. I'm turning to astrology and the devil. And that was when I realized, like, oh, I haven't been following God. I've been following Satan this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I got to fix this. And I was so remorseful too, because I all of a sudden started realizing all the little moments that God had been trying to be there for me. And I was like, nope, don't want to see you. Don't want to hear it. Like, ignore, ignore, ignore,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all the people in my life who had been there for me. And I was not, you know, gracious towards them. I was, you know, snap, because I'd been snappy and short tempered with pretty much everyone.
Right.
And, you know, I felt awful. I was like, I'm literally this horrible human being. What have I done? And it, the crazy thing, too, is when I went on my phone all of a sudden, like when I was like scrolling through TikTok, like instead of astrology videos and like, because that was basically my For You page at that point, it was just Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse wow. after Bible. It's just all of a sudden like a like in like I hadn't done anything to change the algorithm. Like it was literally just all of a sudden.
It's all Holy Spirit was, right
there. Yeah. Yeah. And I just started sobbing. I mean, sobbing for like 3 days straight, I was sobbing. And as soon as I could collect myself and not, you know, be a basket case, I like practically ran to the confessional and, you know, just basically trauma dumped on the priest and, you know, confessed all my sins. And I'll never, ever, ever forget the words that he told me because that truly changed my whole life. He said the words, well, first he made me recite like the words that you recite when you're being baptized, like the I believe in God, you know, all of that to kind of, because I had dabbled a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah. And
so to renounce.
Yes, exactly. And then after that he said, I'm so proud of you. And I was like, so confused. I was like, what do you mean you're proud
of me? Did you hear what I just said? Right,
exactly. I was like, I literally was the worst. What do you mean you're proud of me? Like I handled everything wrong. I did nothing right. And you're sitting here saying you're proud of me. And he said, but you came back.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And yeah.
What I was a moment.
Like, yeah, I was like, wow. Like, I felt kind of like the female version of, like, the prodigal son in, right. in a sense. Like, I had, like, a wild few months. Mm-hmm. And now I was like, I take it all back. And he was like, and it was like, God was like, I'm so proud of you for choosing me. And then he told me after that, he said, for your penance, I want you to go to the chapel and I want you to say out loud, God, I give you permission to be powerful in my life and say that prayer like every day. And also each and every day, find something to be grateful for and, you know, spend time meditating on how God moved in your life mm-hmm. that day. And I said, okay. So I did. And I, you know, went out to the chapel and I said, God, I give you permission to be powerful in my life. And like, I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I knew it was going to be something big. And yeah, he really pulled through because since then, my life has changed dramatically. Like me as a person, I've, you know, become a lot better spiritually, mentally, even mm-hmm. physically to an extent. And just the people around me, like I have such a good friend group now, like supportive Catholic friend group where we all uplift each other mm-hmm. and truly like want the best for each other. I'm taking a completely different career path truly every day. Like I see so many like moments where I'm like, oh, that was God. Like I can see it now and feel it. And like I feel God's presence so much strongly. And I finally like truly after that, like I understood what it meant to truly love the Lord and like want a relationship with him. And I realized I didn't have that. And that like made all the difference in the world. And now I truly, truly understand like the weight of all my sins, even the small ones. And it's like I have that true contrition that I never thought was possible before.
Right. So, like, you feel yourself actually like whipping Jesus
yes,
in the moment.
Yes. Yeah. Like when I say the rosary now, which I say daily, and I would recommend that for everyone. I think that prayer is probably the most powerful prayer mm-hmm. there is. But the mystery that always gets me is in the sorrowful mysteries. The second one, the scourging of Jesus, that one, like I almost always am in tears when I say that because all I can think about is every sin I've ever committed is me whipping Jesus.
Right.
And
that's a good message for mm-hmm, anybody that's mm-hmm. listening. If you've been like, oh, but I don't know if I should go to confession or not. Mm-hmm. What Janie just said is 100% true. That is you right there whipping Jesus. Mm-hmm. So if you need that final motivation, now is the time to go to confession. Mm-hmm. You had said something earlier about mm-hmm. a stress response. Mm-hmm. Is stress now out of your life?
I mean, no, because life in and of itself is is stressful.
Right.
You know, so no, stress is not out of my life.
Of course not.
But I am much better equipped to handle it.
Yes.
Because it's like now I'm like, oh, I'll just go to Jesus and Jesus will help me. And it's true. Like when you go to him, like your burden becomes so much less.
Lighter.
Yeah, yeah. Lighter. Yeah. Like you don't, it's not as heavy. And that was something too, like when I was in the confessional, like I had all this resentment, all this like yuck in my heart. And it's like, I literally felt the hand of God, like go into my heart and pull it all out. And I like left feeling 10 pounds lighter, like physically felt lighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was crazy. And since then, like, I only like, I don't, you know, I'm not perfect, but for the most part, I would say that like, I don't feel any resentment towards like anyone. Like I only like, I'm much more forgiving. I'm much more like loving. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot more patient.
Right. Cause you
yeah.
know, you've been,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
what
I've been
they
there.
May be
yeah.
experiencing and you're like,
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So God has given me a lot of grace in that regard.
Wow.
And also, in terms of career, since I was 12 years old, I had this like dream of me in the hospital and I was going down the quarters and I like, would basically collect the souls in the hospital and take them to heaven with me. And I would have that dream like every, you know, like 6 months or so when I was starting at 12. And I, you know, it was kind of one of those dreams where I was like, oh, I had that dream again, whatever. And after that experience in August, I started having that dream again, but I ignored it. And then once I, you know, came right with God, it was like, I was having that dream like almost every night. Like it was just constantly on my mind. He led me down the path of looking into, you know, hospice care. Now, obviously I'm not a nurse and being a nurse would be too physically laborious for me. And it would be, you know, like too much school and all that. I was like, I'm not capable of doing that right now, but I, you know, saw that you can be something called a end-of-life caretaker or death doula is another word for it, but basically someone who, you know, sits with people who are in hospice care, either in the hospital or, you know, at their home, and you, you know, take care of them.
Wow.
In non-medical aspects, and like, and you can even help with like paperwork and all of that.
Sure.
And so that's, so I ended up getting certified in that. And now that's what I'm pursuing. And ultimately I'd like to, you know, that's what I want my nonprofit organization to be about.
Okay.
And, you know, that's something too, that I thought was like something I wouldn't accomplish till I was like 40 years old. But I've met since then like three different people who have all had experience in nonprofits and like the legal aspects and have been like willing to like help me get it started. So I'm like, oh, like it's becoming more of a reality now.
Yeah.
But I'm just taking that a day at a time because I am still struggling to a certain degree with my health. And I do have to be very, very careful to have balance. Like that's my current struggle, just making sure that I have balance in my life and not overworking myself. And so I just take it, you know, day by day. I'm like, God, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to lead?
Sure.
And I'm, you know, remembering I like to be patient. I'm not trying to rush it. Like it will happen in his timing and it will mm-hmm. evolve as he wants it to. But that's been, it's been pretty cool to like see that become like of reality and like you just, you know, the little signs and messages that
sure.
like God has sent my way. And I've had so many like confirmations or like moments where I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, is like taking care of other people, even just on a small level, small scale. Like, it doesn't have to be big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is quite the journey. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you mm-hmm. sharing. We have maybe a minute. Do you have like a quick tip to somebody who may have just gone through something similar where they've found God and they're mm-hmm. excited about the faith? What would be just a quick tip that you would share with them?
Pray the rosary every day, or at least try to. Like if you're, you know, too busy to pray the whole rosary, then just a decade. I would say that prayer is the single most important prayer that you could possibly pray. And yeah, don't beat yourself up if you're not perfect, because it's a journey. The most important thing is just trusting in God's mercy. Always don't be afraid to turn to him, even if you slip up, like always turn back to Jesus. And don't overthink. That's something I'm guilty of, is overthinking. Like, I need to work on that. Just, you know, take it day by day. Try to see God in the little moments in life. And ask him to reveal himself to you, and he will. And don't expect things either to like become better right away, because they didn't for me. Like, I was a lot more joyful and peaceful, but my life was still technically a mess.
Sure.
I just had a better attitude about it. And it took a while. Like, it's just now kind of coming together where I'm, you know, leaving my old career. I'm finally leaving that behind and going elsewhere. I'm figuring, you know, more at peace with my family. I'm, you know, just now getting into a new relationship. So like all of that, you know, is coming together slowly, but it's not all going to be right away.
It's great words of advice, folks. I really appreciate you listening. Mm-hmm. If Janie's story touched you, make sure that you share it with somebody and comment down below if you're listening on YouTube. But thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Janie, thank you for being here. And this is Honest to God. I am Julian, not John Henry. We are a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Thanks for being here.
This has been Honest to God. What's on your mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.